sometimes the pain inside your darkness cuts so deep you'd rather die. Standing on your own left you wounded with an emptiness that longs to feel alive.
Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of The Road to Recovery. I'm your host, Dan Chuba. That's correct. Dan Chuba. Dan. Some people say Dan, the real estate man. In my life, I've been called the bird man. I've been called many things, actually. Some I can't repeat on the air because we still are rated the show as GP. But, hey, I am in recovery. And that's a good thing. I am, today is July 21st, and that means that I've been sober 10 years, 23 years, 10 months, and 21 days. Consistent sobriety. And who's counting? I am. I count every single day that I'm sober. And I will say that I wake up in amazement. Number one, that I wake up. And number two, looking at my life and where it's at as compared to what it was 23 years, 10 months, and 21 days ago. Because today, I still have hope that I'm going to continue to live. Not forever, but maybe to fulfill a purpose or something. But I'm definitely using my life for better today than I was before. And while it may not be a perfect life, it's my life, and I'm doing it. And I'm sharing it with the lovely Mrs. Martha, who is now my wife. That's right. Yay, Martha, fourth wife. That's right. See, what you don't know is that before I sobered up, I went through three marriages, three failed marriages. I have three children who were raised by three, by other men and my ex-wives and their mothers. I've had two DUIs, nothing I'm proud of, but I haven't had a third one, and the reason why I don't even worry about getting a third DUI is because I don't drink. And I certainly don't get behind the wheel of a car under any influence of any drugs or alcohol, and that's a good thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, a little nervous still about January 1st coming when they're going to legalize marijuana here in the state of Illinois. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to do. In fact, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow for that matter. But I got to tell you, today was another beautiful day, good day, because I didn't drink. And because I didn't drink, I didn't make any really, really dumb mistakes. And that's also a good thing. So, you know, we're going forward one day, one step at a time. And that's all I really want and can handle in my life. One day at a time. One day at a time. I have hopes for lots of days. You know, this last weekend, my wife, go figure, my wife, this is great. I had to work. She went down to her lake house and enjoyed the time alone. She's used to not having anybody around, yet she's enjoyed the fact that we are a couple, and I do too. And I can handle being alone. And that's one thing that we have to do, is we have to learn to love and be with ourselves before we can love and be with somebody else. And because I drank, because I was caught up in an addiction, I had a hard time getting along with anybody, let alone myself. I didn't like myself. I didn't love myself. And because of that, how could I like or love anyone else? I know it sounds pretty wild, but it is the truth. You know, and they tell you that, and it wasn't until I got really comfortable with being by myself. I knew that I always wanted somebody in my life, somebody special, and I do. I have Martha now, and she's really incredible. It's nowhere what I had imagined my life with somebody would be. Because a lot of things have evolved and changed. But I understand a new love and a caring for someone today that I didn't understand before. And how did I get that? Working the 12 steps of recovery. Amen. You know, today being the 21st of July, 2019, I had a call from one of the guys that was sponsoring, and he just has a hard time staying sober. Goes back out. A lot of them do. And what I thought we'd talk about today is temptation. 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 And it's out there. And you add to it a little peer pressure, okay, and some bad thinking, and it's off to the races we go. And that's sad. Sad that we are caught up like that. Off to the races. So, temptation is going to be everywhere. It always is and always will be. And then you throw in some peer pressure, and if you're not focused, if you don't pay attention to what you're doing, how you're doing it, et cetera, et cetera, you know, you will fall prey to temptation. And that's why it's important to work a program in recovery on a daily basis, because temptation never goes away. It's always out there. It's just, how strong am I to be able to resist temptation? Even if, here's where I get in trouble, is when I think that I can handle temptation and I flirt with it too much. Now, like last weekend, I don't know, I think I mentioned to you that I was, my Lions Club organization volunteered basically to serve beer and alcohol at the festival, local fest, and I actually worked the tapper. In the past, I've done a lot of things since I sobered up, worked the alcohol tent pretty much exclusively during my events, simply because I understand alcoholics. I understand when too much is too much and how to, in a nice way, tell people that they're not going to be served anything anymore, because then embarrassment sets in, especially in front of the world, screws with their anticipated plans, and they react in a negative and adverse way in a crowd that could be rather dangerous in today's world. So what we don't want to do is to make a big scene of it. Of course not. But we do want to keep, you know, a sense of responsible drinking out there. And if we're serving, I forgot what the name of the card. I had to sit through a training program. It was like 4 hours, solid 4 hours, and maybe even six. It was a long time. But I got my card to serve alcohol. I don't know it's that important anymore. They kind of lighten up on that a little bit. But, you know, I was on the other side. I was... My wife, Martha, joined us, and she was helping serve alcohol. And it was easy to point out to her to watch how initially, in the beginning, it's so important to fill the glasses to the top, because people are paying top dollar for these beers, and they want, you know, full top. But as they come back, it's not as important. And near the end of the evening, I don't think they really care, just that there's alcohol and some alcohol in the cups. And that's sad. And it's a very clear and obvious progression of people as they come back for another drink, another drink, another drink. And I just, but for the grace of God, there go I. That was me. And probably came back a lot quicker and a lot faster and an interest in more alcohol. How I got away with what I got away with back when I was a young guy, it just totally amazes me. Unbelievable. Because I was pretty much, I don't want to say out of control, but there were moments that I was pretty much out of control. Yeah. And if there was free booze, you know, I felt I had to do my share and then of drinking it. And gosh, boy, oh boy. You know, the consequences that came with it. See, that's the thing that doesn't list the consequences. Maybe if on any alcoholic beverage they list the potential consequences for abuse of the drink. Yet there are hundreds and thousands and millions of people that drink alcohol and don't seem to have a problem with consequences. You know, they're able to have a beer or two and put it down. Well, all I know is I wasn't one of those people. In fact, when I got the buzz, I got more excited and wanted more. The good news today, the thought of a buzz actually scares me. It really does. It makes me scared. And I don't want to lose that fear, that healthy respect for the alcohol, because I know what consequences can come along for having abused alcohol. So, not a good thing. So, this is a live broadcast, boys and girls, moms and dads, anybody who is out there listening. We are going to be broadcasting probably till 9 o'clock. I don't know. I'm pretty tired tonight. Didn't get much sleep. My elbow has been killing me. And I'm going to go home, I think, and lance it. That means I'm going to open it up and see if I can get some of the infection out of it because it's killing me. And, yes, this is the carryover. It's been going on for about 3 or 4 weeks now. But it's almost healed, but there's still some activity in there. And I don't know if it's because the lovely Miss Martha was out of town and I watched too much TV. I was staying up late till about 2:30 watching television last night. Not good. It's good to have a relationship, you know, when somebody says, hey, let's go to bed, finally. You know, good thing. But I stayed up, and then I couldn't get sleep, and then I wasn't, I think I got 2 or 3 hours of sleep. Not very good. So I'm a little tired tonight. I could use some help if anybody wants to join me on the air. The phone number to call in is area code 323-580-5755. I'll repeat it again. 323-580-5755. Just in case you feel you have an inkling and an urge to share, to ask a question, to tell me to wake up and remind me maybe that I'm repeating myself again and again and again. Who knows? It's the broadcast is going out to the world. Anybody wants to listen to it. If you could find it, good luck. I know it's been a little challenging, and my friend Steve has been doing a great job of posting it. But we're working on that with the Linked Local Network group of trying to get it broadcast so people know where they can go to find some. It's like a meeting on the air. It's like a 12-step meeting on the air, even though it is not supported through any of the 12-step programs. This is a program that I put together for me, for myself, and I, and anybody else that cares to listen or get something out of it. Because the program of recovery in alcohol, in Alcoholics Anonymous, is a program of suggestions. It is not a program of rules. There are steps that are suggested that if you take one step and take another and another and another, you'll advance yourself and do well. But a lot of people like to stop before they get through the 12 steps and they get a little well and don't feel the need or the urge to continue on and complete their journey. And the amazing thing about the 12 steps, even though there's 12 steps, we never really finish them. Do you know that? No, that's right. We don't really finish them. We get through the 12 steps, and then we go back and start all over again. And it's a never-ending, nonstop, and you don't have to do it in that necessary order anymore. Again, it's just a program suggestion. But you might be going around on certain steps, 5, 7, 9, 12, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, whatever works for you. You know, as an alcoholic in recovery or as anyone with an addiction in recovery, there is only one thing that we need to do perfectly every day. And you know what that is? Do you know what that is? That is to not drink or drug. That's right, not to indulge ourselves in the addiction of our choice. Because if we do, as soon as we start on that road to drinking or drugging or whatever it may be, we just throw our possibility of getting better out the door. That's right. Once we let ourselves have a drug, have some drugs, alcohol, whatever it is, we lose our ability to make good decisions. And that's a sad thing because, you know, if we really knew we were going to be making bad decisions, we may not want to do that. We may not want it to drink or drug, but we don't see that until it's too late. And when it's too late, well, that's it. It is too late to do anything about it. Once you've caught up into the well, we often say it's one drink is too many, and 10 are not enough, or 20 are not enough, or 30 are not enough. You know, and it's really conceptual, but once you have that first drink and you want more, well, you lose judgment. You make worse decisions with each drink that you have. So the only thing we have to do perfectly every day is to not take that first drink. And when we do that, will we still make mistakes? Will we have bad choices? Absolutely. But they will be far less impacting than when we make decisions under the influence or caught up in our addictions. So, I can't believe it's a live show. I'm yawning like a profuse person. I've got 3, 4, 5 candidates that say, Dan, I'd love to be a guest on your show. But nobody can make the days and times that I have it scheduled. So we just keep waiting, and hopefully someday somebody will come along that is able to come on the air and share with us. If you know of anybody that you feel would be a great candidate to carry a message from their lives to our lives, we'd appreciate that. Let them know that we would like to hear from them, because it's not about us. In fact, oftentimes, the best information that we can get from anybody or everybody, okay, is shared when somebody comes on the air and shares their personal experience, strength, and hope. Now, the people that I got some help with through hypnotherapy, Ryan, I suggested that he contact Linked Local Network, and they may want to do a broadcast of their own. I thought what he offered to me helped me, okay? And I'm a big skeptic on a lot of things, but I got to tell you something. What he shared with me, how he shared it with me, I was very comfortable, and I appreciated the help. And I think it was definitely part of the reason why I was able to enter into and maintain a relationship with the lovely Mrs. Martha now, who is now Mrs. Martha, not just Ms. Martha. Okay? So let's see here. I am all good. Where that you want to leave from. Okay. You only need to be baptized once, right? Great. Amen. I'm having a couple different conversations here. So a friend of mine is talking about how she is pursuing a religious experience, I guess. I guess that's the best way to say it. A religious experience involving possibly getting baptized. And she asked if I had been baptized, and I said yes. Actually, I was baptized twice. Once as a Catholic. No, three times. Once as a Jehovah's Witness. Oh, my God, yeah, I forgot about that. And then once as a born-again. So three times, man, I've been in that water. And you think that I would be lily white clean by now, but no. A baptism just grants you the opportunity of identifying that you are capable of, I don't know, these are my words, so I don't know that they're any correct, you know. But I think baptism is important to me and to other people, but maybe different reasons. I don't know. If you have a reason why you get baptized, let me know. If you have a disease or a drug or an addiction to anything or anybody, call me. Share with me. You know, we're only as dark, as sick as our darkest secrets. We're only as sick as our darkest secrets. And when we share them with the world, they're no longer secrets. And when we share them with someone else, then that saying, the truth will set you free and you will grow. And that's what the program of recovery is all about, is talking. It's talking about what we have in our minds and our hearts, mostly in our minds. Our minds have us going in circles. You know, we go round and round and round in circles. So, okay, and if it's going to be a quiet night, again, I'm pacing myself here and recognizing I'm kind of tired again. Yeah, part of me says, well, Dan, you're an older guy these days. And I am. I'm an older man. I'm not an old man, but I'm definitely older than I was before. Okay, before what, you say? Well, before a lot of things. It was interesting because I was watching a series program that was exploring the birthdays of individuals going through their 40th birthday, like it was some major crime or some difficulty. And I was laughing. I'm like, well, I'm 20 years beyond 40. I'm 62 years old. How do I relate to that issue? And I honestly, I didn't, because I didn't know what was going on for the most part. Not that that's an excuse, but it is what I'm selling today. What I am selling, that's real well. Okay, hopefully nothing, right? Hopefully nothing. All right. I just laugh because sometimes I'm so tired or not feeling well that the words that are coming from my mouth are not very clear. Okay? Well, you know, when you're prepared to do a two-hour show, and sometimes I have topics, sometimes I have thoughts, but when you match it with physical, you know, when you're physically tired, I mean, HALT, H-A-L-T, an acronym that most alcoholics use to adjust and get through life and stop. You know, if I'm hungry, I should go eat, the H in HALT. Angry, A. If I'm angry, I need to take a walk away. Walk away from the situation that's angering me. Don't try to confront it because it takes an angry situation and makes it worse, and that's not good. Lonely, L, the L in HALT. Lonely, if I'm lonely, call a friend. That's why having a sponsor, especially in the beginning, is an important thing because we don't have very many friends, at least sober friends. And we want to make sure that we're hanging with the right group and not reassigning the important role of a kind of a sponsorship on someone who's caught up in their addictions or the same ones we were. And T, the last letter in HALT. Tired. If you're tired, take a break. And that's probably what I'm going to do. I'm sitting here. It's 7:30 already. Half hour's gone by. And I don't know that I'm going to go the full gambit tonight. I don't know that I want to. What part of New York? I have somebody calling or texting me from New York at the moment. What part of New York are you living in? And thank you for at least identifying where you're at. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It's good to hear from people all over. My dear friend Anna, I hope she's doing well. She's also from New York. And, you know, she's come a long way. I want to see her do well. She had a difficult time. She was trying to get legal status. So that she could work, employment. She's been in this country. She is from, I think, Holland. I think that's where she's from, Holland. And, she wanted to work, and she had a work visa, so she didn't have one when she got here. So then she was running around and panicked and worried that she was going to get one, and she ultimately did. So was her panic worth getting excited about? Probably not. You know, and that's one of the things. If we can get my friend to come on the air, we might be able to address the issue of panic and panic attacks and where they come from and how, of course, we can adjust ourselves and our lives and to get rid of them. Panic. Not good. Panic attack. Okay. Gosh, guys, I got to tell you, it's like hitting me again. You know, a couple weeks ago, a month or two ago, I took some Excedrin PM, and it was knocking me out. I didn't take any medications, per se, but I know that my elbow is kind of sore, and I think think I've got a full day tomorrow as well. Next weekend, we have the Big Boy Train, the largest steam engine locomotive coming to the town of West Chicago. Oh, I got to be with that guy. Okay, it's coming to West Chicago next weekend, and it'll be here to be looked at. It's history. It's the largest steam engine ever built in the United States, and it was part of the transcontinental linking the East and the West when they did that with the Golden Spike. So my company, under my leadership, under my tutelage, wanted to do something special, so we're going to give away free soft serve. I don't even know if it's ice cream, but we're going to give away free soft serve to anyone while quantities last, just vanilla. And I have to go and learn how to use the machine because somebody's got to learn how to prepare the soft serve machine. And the girl that I thought would do it is out of the state. She's at some other country fair. And I don't believe she's coming back in time. So we're going to have me learn how to do this. So I'm going to probably make it a point to get out there. So, Tony, look forward to seeing you this week. I'm not sure what day. Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday seems to be a better day for me. And I've got a bunch of things to do before then. I've got to order business cards and certificates so people know that they can come and get a free soft serve. And so I got a bunch of things to do. And you ever get to a point in your life where you have so much to do that you just don't want to do any of it? Yeah, I know. I understand. And I'm there a lot. You know, running, selling real estate, running an office, being a Lions Club president, being me, Dan, being a dad sometimes when my kids feel like having me around. Oh, they're doing good, you know, and I'm not going to take much, if any, credit for it. You know, glad that they had good stepdads, glad that, and they still recognize and respect them. You know, I haven't talked to my son since I identified and heard that he had 1 year of sobriety, and I congratulated him by text. He wanted to know how I knew. He said thank you, and then he wanted to know how I knew, and I told him, and that was it. That was the full extent of our conversation. That was probably about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Not very chatty. The one thing is, when you have a lot of things to do, the truth is that you probably don't do any of all of them hardly well, you know, really. They probably don't do them hardly well. You probably do a good job, but not a great job, and that's the sad part, you know, because you can't. It's just physically, almost physically impossible to do everything that you want to and care to do well. You just, you know, it's just physically, humanly impossible. So you got to do what you can, do the best you can, and see if that works. And hopefully it does. And you know, when you get some help from other people, you should be probably grateful, as I was grateful, because I wasn't a good parent, not in the sense of what my kids were able to benefit from these gentlemen that were good parents. They were there. They took, you know, I'm watching an old rerun of a movie, not a movie, but a well, it's called Nip Tuck. Nip Tuck, okay? And the thing about Nip Tuck is that here is this very narcissistic doctor, really, a narcissistic doctor who became totally enmeshed in the lives of this child that he thought he had fathered with this woman that had a sexual addiction. It turns out she had over 200-something partners in a two-year basis, and that's quite a bit of partner, okay? And she was out of control. And she got pregnant, And he stepped up to the role thinking that he was the father. She told him he was the father. And when the baby was born, which was amazing, the baby came out as a multiracial child. It was clear and obvious that this child was not necessarily an Anglo child, because he and this girl both were Anglo people. No, it wasn't. And he didn't care. I guess that's the thing that fascinated the living crap out of me, is at that point, he didn't care anymore, because for months, he thought it was his kid. He envisioned that it was his kid, and he wanted it to be his kid. And he agreed that when that child was born, that rather than alienating and pushing it away and making a big thing out of the fact that it was obviously and impossibly his child from a biological standpoint, he accepted it as his own, and he decided he was going to be the parent and the father to this kid. And then he starts this relationship with this girl who, again, she's not healthy. He's not necessarily the healthiest person either. And they struggle until the point is that in her attempt to be, you know, it's a control thing a lot of times with people. Control, 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 you know. Everybody wants to be in control. And she decides to go and look up and find the actual biological father that she had a one-night tryst with. And he ultimately comes and decides that he wants this child to raise as his own, leaving this guy who had nothing to do, because he had no rights parentally. He didn't. Nothing. And he was the one that cared the most about this kid. That was amazing. I thought that was most, you know, what a show. What a great writing for the show, because I thought that was very, very heart-touching, grabbing. It was great. It was very interesting. And I often wonder, being who I am and how I am, it's hard to imagine that I could even be that loving to my own kids, let alone someone that was turned out not to be mine. I don't know. Interesting. Isn't it funny how we all grow up, and we all grow up differently? We're all different. Everybody has different stimuli. Like, my mother is 90 years old, and she is in a assisted living facility that my sister was able to get her into with very, very meager means, okay? But my mom is really appreciative of being at this particular place, because it's a Catholic place, and she's very much Catholic, and so she can go to Mass every day, and for her, that's the cat's meow, okay? That's something that she really enjoys, is the Mass, hearing the Mass every day, okay? And yet, she doesn't want to live. She has no will and interest in living. That's kind of an interesting thing as well. Yet she does live, and my siblings make it a point to spend a lot of time with her, and I just don't find the interest in wanting to spend time with her simply because my mom actually pulled some things on me when I was struggling with my alcoholism, and whatever justification that she came up with in her mind. And it was rather unfair to me and my kids. Everybody for themselves, boys and girls. You know, you're talking about a lifeboat and who gets in and who has the privilege of getting in and staying in as compared to who has to stay out and drown. I don't know how that works. That would be scary. You know, you don't want to bring too many people in for fear they'll sink the boat. But then on the other hand, you know, do you let people go and you just turn your head and watch them die? Probably. That's probably what happens. Gosh, I tell you, it must be difficult to be an omnipotent being, the Lord our God. You know, it must be difficult. Burrow. What is burrow? What is burrow? I don't know what burrow is. Is it the boroughs in New York? Is there boroughs in New York? Who knows? Who knows, boys and girls, moms and dads. Okay, you're listening to The Road to Recovery, and you're listening to me mumble and stumble and fumble and blab and blah, 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 blah. If you're listening, that's cool. And if you're not, if you get anything out of it, well, that's even more cool, because I think the only person being helped today is really just me, and the fact that I'm just, you know, I'm tired. It was a long day. I did come into work. I did make dinner for my wife and I. She was able to stay over at her daughter's last night. And so, you know, the cat is away and the mouse will play. Well, it wasn't really playing. I just didn't go to bed. I stayed up way too long past my bedtime. And now I'm paying the price. I'm extremely tired. And, oh well. But I did get a bunch of stuff done this week, and I will say, and that's a good news, because it's always good when you can get some things done, when you need to get a bunch of things done. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to get more done this week, because I have got lots of things to do, lots of things to do, okay, on the schedule. What is a burrow? Okay. Let's see. Where is this? Oh, tantalizing. Let's see. Here we go. Wait a minute. So, all right. Any thoughts on temptation, guys? Anybody has a question, a concern, a comment? Have you ever been tempted? Do you still face temptation? You know, when we were younger, we heard about temptation. Then we had our friends come along and tempt us. And now we have the ongoing advertisements constantly promoting and telling us, okay, tempting us with all kinds of things, you know. And really, let's see here, Thomas. Yes. I know. Okay. All right. I think I'm going to play, you know what, I'm going to play some music because I can. Because I'm going to just jump into Marilyn Scott. Yeah, because I don't think I'm going to go the whole 2 hours tonight, boys and girls, unless somebody calls in, because I'm rather boring tonight. And if I don't have much to say, then guess what? I'm not going to stay in line and say it, because there's sometimes nothing to say. You know, it's really interesting, too, isn't it? There are days that I can't wait to get on the air to talk about what's going on in life and my journey into sobriety and the things I see and witness and so on and so forth. And then there are days that there's just, you know, it's just like that. It's boring. It's nothing exciting happened. And that's okay. You know, there are different types of sobriety. There's different types of temptation. There are different types of addiction. I was writing some of those down this week, by the way. And I even added volunteering as an addiction. Chaos, alcohol, drugs, prescription, heroin, opiates, oxycodone, hydrocodone, methadone, food, anorexia, bulimia, gambling, sex, sexual pornography, sex itself, workaholics. Victimaholic. How about that? Victimaholic. All kinds of things. Yep. Okay. Well, let's get to playing for some music here because I'm just into relaxing a little bit. So here, let's listen to Marilyn Scott for a while and see if I feel any better. And we'll come back in a few moments. I don't know. More of The Road to Recovery. Here on Link Local Network, part of the Blog Talk Radio, part of the Link Local Network of Broadcasting. Okay? Hold on.
If today were the last of all days, would it change how you feel who you are? Would you rise for a moment above all your fears, become one with the moon and the stars? Or would you like what you see looking down? Did you give everything that you could? Have you done everything that you wanted to do? Is there still so much more that you want? Follow your dream to the end of a rainbow, waving your heart on a boat. Open your eyes to the colors around you and find the true beauty life holds. Would you live for a moment like when you were young? Time didn't travel so fast. Be free in the present, enjoying the now. Not tied to the future or the past. Follow your dream to the end of a rainbow, way beyond one pot of gold. Open your eyes. Thank you.
And if the moonlight Thank you. Let's go. Thank you.
No. Writing's not that easy, but Grammarly can help. This sentence is grammatically correct.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back to the Road to Recovery. I am your host, Dan Chuba. I'm dragging here tonight, so guess what? We are going to bring the show to an end tonight early, 8:30. I know you just listened to a bunch of music. I got to tell you, I enjoyed that. I just sat here and listened, dreaming, thinking, and realizing I need to get home, work on my elbow. I have an infected elbow from a couple of weeks. It comes and goes, and it's getting better, but it needs some attention tonight. And since it's quiet out there, I hope you had a great week. It was hot. I hope you find ways to stay cool, extend a hand to friend, and realize that there's choices in the world, and hopefully you're making better ones. I know I am. Listen, have a great week, everyone, and I'm going to say goodnight to you all. We'll be back next Sunday here with more of The Road to Recovery on Blog Talk Radio, part of the Linked Local Network of Broadcasting, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. Maybe we'll have a guest. That would be cool. Okay, good night, everyone.